suit and tie every day, and still he's my friend.
He's a very distinguished guy.
He does a lot of work in Russia. He works 4 or 5 months out of the year in Russia. He's one of these guys that's helping to Americanize Russians and hoping to squeeze whatever he can out of their dying economy.
Sure.
I've been talking with him for the last year, kidding with him about, yeah, you should get us over there. Well, do you know that he's told me that the company he works for has actually gotten the Russian government to invite us to come over there.
Us?
To do the show from Moscow.
Yeah, us.
You and me?
Yeah, our show, us.
To do the show over there? From Moscow. Now, apparently it's a big deal because you can't just get on a plane and say, we want to go do our radio show from Moscow. You have to be invited and you have to have all this international BS taken care of.
So even with the new regime, there are still certain guidelines that have to be followed.
Yeah, although to hear my friend Bob tell it, they're looking for good PR. At this point, they're looking for guys to come over and say, hey, Russia is a great place. I spent my last vacation in Myrtle Beach, but let me tell you something. From now on, it's going to be Moscow.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to work on that. The problem, of course, is that Infinity Broadcasting would have to come up with some serious buckage
mm-hmm.
to get us over there. I mean, I think that the nutty Russians would pay. I guess I shouldn't call them the nutty Russians. The Russians would pay for the satellite time.
They should get accustomed, though, to you calling them the nutty Russians, because if we're going to go over there, they should understand our brand of humor.
And what else did he say? Something about how they've got that that national radio. You know, you only get like one channel on your radio in Russia.
Right.
And they put us on. Just like they did when we did the show to Russia.
That was
5 or 6 years ago.
And when we did the show where we broadcast our show over into the Soviet Union, that was really one of the first things that happened where the walls were beginning to come down. And then, of course, the history-making collapse of the entire system.
Now, at the time when we originally had the chance to broadcast to Moscow was when we were working at the other bad radio station. Boo, WAVA, bad radio, boo. They could have sent us over to Moscow because we had the blessing of the government. The problem is, at that time, of course, it was Alan Goodman. Need I say any more? You look up cheap in the dictionary, and there's two pictures. There's Ebenezer Scrooge, and right next to it, and slightly bigger, is Alan Goodman, who used to be our general manager. He's the guy that came up with the brainchild. Listen, why send Don and Mike to Moscow? Why pay thousands of dollars? Why can't they just come in at 11 o'clock at night and do their little show from Arlington, Virginia, and beam it? Okay, fine.
Call number 24.
This food, what does it matter? This would not be a ploy on your part just to leave me with all the gay square dance, because you're going to have to leave the show a little bit early that night.
I told you today that I'm going to go right to the Y. I'm going to leave as late as possible.
Are you sure it's not just a plan to leave me surrounded by a bunch of gay cowboys?
No. And I remember last year's show, the festivities come in the middle of the program, so it should be very exciting. And then at the end, are we going to pair off again and have everybody pick
sure.
a partner?
Now, although this year, Steve the gay guy, mm-hmm. our biggest gay fan, has that article that he was doing on us for the Homo Weekly magazine. Has that come out yet?
I haven't checked. I don't subscribe to Michael's Homo Weekly, so I'm not sure whether it's in there or not.
Well, Steve the gay guy was telling me that this year he expects, since we've gotten so much good PR in the gay community in the last year,
mm-hmm.
he expects that this year we'll have a whole bunch of gay cowboys coming out. If you'll pardon the pun, they're not coming out.
Gay cowboys.
Right, gay cowboys. Well, that's what it is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Gay square dancing and rodeo, and that's September 24th. And the reason we're doing this, I guess I should set this straight, too, is that last year when we were looking on our calendar of all the stupid stuff happening, like, for instance, the month of September is Defeat of Jesse James Month.
Okay.
It is also Nebraska State Fair Month.
Mm-hmm.
It's Baby Safety Month. It's Cable TV Month. Library Card Sign Up Month.
Right.
Chicken Cholesterol Education Month. It's Honey Month. Piano Month. Rice Month. Courtesy Month. And last but not least, as you can see, it is Gay Square Dancing Month.
There you go.
This is what caught the eye a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of gays and lesbians, you think of them in all kinds of connotations in our society now. Airline pilots, doctors, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, military people. But you certainly don't think of gay people square dancing.
No, you really don't. And this was fascinating, and that's why we decided we have to do something special to commemorate it. And we actually had a legitimate gay square dance.
A big old hoedown. Oh, man.
What?
God.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at in People magazine?
Look at this picture of Lonnie Anderson.
Is it something horrific or what?
No, anything but. Look at that one right there. Look at that one right there.
You know she...
Wow. Yeah, okay?
This is the woman that Burt Reynolds did not touch in a biblical way for 3 years.
I know that I've said a lot of things about her, like that she's got a marionette-looking face, that she looks like a ventriloquist dummy. But, man, I am ready to take it all back. The picture is on page 81 of People magazine.
Lonnie in a bikini.
Lonnie is, in a perfect world, she'd be looking down the water at me going, Donnie, come up for some air. She's in a hot tub, and that is a side of Lonnie Anderson that I have never seen before.
I wonder if they're real.
Lonnie's?
Yeah, do you think they're real? I mean, because I didn't. Yeah. She had them on WKRP in Cincinnati way before breast augmentation was the rage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I bet they are.
Oh,
I'm thirsty. Boy, am I thirsty. So the second annual gay square dance and rodeo show will be on September 24th, just because Gay Square Dance Month is such a wacky phenomenon.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we had a great time last year, and I'm sure this year will be bigger and better.
We invite gays and straights alike to come down and join us for a mingling, and that'll be on Friday, September 24th.
That's right.
Now that I'm looking at the People magazine, and it's the new one that's at your grocery stores right now,
mm-hmm.
Look at the cover. And maybe you've noticed this, if you've been in line in the grocery store and you've looked at this thing. Look at Bert. Doesn't Bert look like he's slurring his words? Doesn't it almost looks like he's had a stroke that his mouth is on there.
It's the exact same look that he had when he did the television interview, and it's that little jaw.
Suckers.
All right. Don't control is hitting what you aim at.
You're bad mother.
Oh, there.
She's a bad mother.
That's the way I feel about it.
She cooked nine meals. You call her a good mother. She says, get off my dress. What he was saying was, he was on primetime live. What was the show he was on?
I think it was the Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
But it was at night. Right. So figure that out. You know, that's the most difficult thing to explain in the world.
Yeah, his mouth. Take a look at that. If you have People magazine, there were three things that I want you to check out. First, that picture on page 81, man, you know what? That's a keeper. I'm sorry.
Yeah, take that out. Take that home.
It's going in my wallet for the trip to Dallas.
Take it on the plane.
Then we also want you to check out the cover with Bert's face. And I just noticed one other thing I want you to check out right here on page 13, page 14. The People magazine review of Daddy Dearest. Now, People magazine doesn't give a bad review to anything.
Have I bled enough?
Because they pretty much suck up to everybody, People magazine.
And what? Let me see if I can use my ESP here. But they're not going to suck up to Daddy Dearest, right?
No.
Have I not bled enough for you today?
I won't read you the whole review. How about, you know, this is something I learned way back in school. One of the few things I retained from school. When you're reading an article, if you want to get the most out of the article, you read the first paragraph and you read the last paragraph.
Right.
And you pretty much could put it together. Then if you got time, you read all the stuff in between.
The lead and the close will tell you what the subject is.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'll read you the first paragraph and the last paragraph.
Okay, I'm ready. You know, I've come to grips with this, so it doesn't bother me at all.
Richard Lewis plays a divorced psychologist whose life is disastrously remapped when his father, Don Rickles, an obnoxious retired car salesman, moves in with him. Rickles isn't the only problem. I've gone to the last paragraph now.
Mm-hmm.
The show's humor is labored. The timing and delivery of the cast is inappropriate and amateurish, particularly Richard Lewis. Everyone talks too loud and walks around in a curious, hunched posture, gesturing madly. It's like a convention of very bad Charles Laughton imitators. Who's Charles Laughton?
He was an actor that actually his most famous role was the Hunchback in Notre Dame.
College guy. Top it all off with a strident laugh track. And you have the makings for the most grating half hour, that's grating, G-R-A-T-I-N-G,
mm-hmm.
The most grating half hour in television history. Grade D.
Yeah.
D.
I have to agree with it. I really do. I have to agree. Man, you were right.
Say it again. Can't play tennis. Me?
Right.
I can't play tennis. Drive a car, I'm not the world's best driver. Baseball, I'll tell you what, I'm a guy that can't hit a baseball, but you know what? I was right about Daddy Dearest.
right about Daddy Dearest.
Yes, you were right.
So check that out. That's on page 14. And then you got the cover with Burt going like this. And then you got that picture, page 81. Wow.
I tell you, with the way you're doing this, I tell you, if the Red Sox happen to finish a bag of the Cubs, I'm putting my head in an oven that morning.
Oh, and they both won last night.
Yeah. They
darn the luck.
It is a horse race. It is now becoming a horse race.
Although I was ready to give it up last night when I turned it on. I was doing a little channel surfing, and I flipped by WGN, and I saw the Cubs were up 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, beautiful. About an hour later, it's the middle of the seventh, I turn it back on. Suddenly, two men on, and I hear the Phillies are up to bat, and I hear Harry Carey saying, once they get hitting, there's no stopping them. Yeah, Mr. Optimist for the Cubs. It's all over now. They're going to choke now. But they kept it together, and they beat the Phillies 5-4. And as I told you, mm-hmm. I didn't even bother to turn on CNN to see if the Red Sox had lost because I was sure they're going to lose because they're playing a first-place team also.
I am as concerned as I have been all season long, and this is going to go much like the pennant races. We have our own little pennant race, and the Cubs-Red Sox battle will very much go down to the wire.
All right, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, good luck to you, too.
Best of luck to you. That's the spirit. We got a break. We're coming from right back.
Radio God. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sherry.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. WKK.
You've got more with Don and Mike.
All right, we've got a call that we must take, and then we've got some guests at the front desk that we want to bring in. See if you can guess who they are, folks. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Don, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I do not have the People magazine in front of me right now, but I would bet anything I remember the picture you're referring to.
You know what? Let me interrupt you.
Oh, you're going to steal my thunder.
Yeah, well, actually, you stole Mike's thunder.
Oh.
Because Mike was going to get me with this.
Yeah.
When we came back from the commercial break.
As soon as we went to commercial, sir, I asked Don to see the picture because I wanted to get a close-up look. And I just read the little caption there, and they were describing the...
Oh, hey, don't mock my skills of reading, sir. I'm only a high school graduate.
Okay.
I don't often read the captions. I just look at the pictures.
And when you see that picture, that immediately looks like Lonnie Anderson, and then you have to really stare at it and realize that it's
not.
It's Bert's cocktail lounge waitress.
You know, but with that picture,
yeah.
The hair looks just like Lonnie's, and I tell you what, the things,
the gonzobulators,
you know, the love things, they sure do look like Lonnie's.
Yeah, the angle too, you don't see her face that clearly, and it's that lady, is it Pam Seals, is that her name?
That's her. Here's what it says Burt Reynolds admits to an affair with cocktail lounge manager Pam Seals, quotes, and you're absolutely right, sir, if I would have read this, it says in Burt's jacuzzi, so it's Pam Seals in the jacuzzi, but it looks to me like Bert just traded in Lonnie for a younger model.
I think he traded up. I'm going to blow Lonnie off in a heartbeat for that.
All right. Well, you're absolutely right, and I was only funny. I can't help it. I've only got a high school education.
Well, I'm an elementary school teacher. I look for those sort of things.
Well, thanks for listening. We do appreciate
sure
it.
Thing.
Hold on. I got a case of Snapple for you, okay?
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Thanks, Peach. What a picture it is.
Still going in my wallet. I don't care if it's Lonnie Anderson or not.
I don't blame you for that.
And it's still on page 81. And folks, do it the way I did. Do it the dumb way. Of course, when Mike looked at the picture, Mike read the caption because he went to college. But do it the way that I did. Do it the dumb way. Just look at the picture and don't bother to read any of the words, and you'll think it's Lonnie Anderson, too.
I would say 50% of America, more than that, three-quarters of America right now thinking that's Lonnie Anderson.
A lot of us didn't go to college, Mike. That is Pam Seals. So thanks for that tip, and Mike was going to try to get me with that, but the caller got us first.
That's right. We got a sharp audience out there.
We got the Donnie Countdown still to come today. All about body parts, speaking of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Zodiac and the phone challenge. All of that still coming, but first we've got a real special treat. A couple of guys joining us here in the studio all the way now from Seattle, Washington.
This is an exciting moment.
You, of course, remember... Diane, got their card for me? You remember on the show a couple of weeks ago when Ken Stevens was in here doing the show that day that we were suspended?
Right.
You remember the day that we were suspended and the general manager, Ken Stevens, had to come in and do the show for us?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, the day that we were not here and Ken was doing the show... He called these guys at Max Kevlar. Is that how you say it, guys? Max Kevlar?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Special Effects in Seattle, Washington. And apparently the general manager of the station called and ordered a robotic love doll. And They're here now. Let's welcome. Which one of you guys is Brian?
I'm Brian Ray, and this is the president of the company, Max Kevlar.
Max Kevlar.
Hi, Max. It's nice to meet you. I'm Don.
Hello.
And this is Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
You don't look like what I would expect.
What did you expect?
I expected
some guy going like... guy maybe like that, you know, selling love dolls and all.
You know, you look like... I guess you are a scientist, right, gentlemen?
Well, actually, Max started out doing... special effects for...
Oh, Jesus, look at them.
Are they in
the crates? Here come the crates.
They're bringing the crates. Now, you have one of these, what do you call them? Robots?
Animatronic love dolls.
Animatronic love dolls.
Now, yeah. Is it Thor? Is that the one you guys have brought by?
We actually have brought several things for you today. We have Thor, which is the male. And then also we have Samantha, which is a female. And then we have a couple other new products, too, we'd like to show.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, great. Well, can we start the show then? Can you bring out the products?
Please, waste no time, gentlemen. We're ready for this.
And we had a question. Max, perhaps you can answer the question.
All right.
Our general manager. Is Earl here? Earl is the other guy, one of our sales guys, who wanted to also go in on this with the general manager.
He'll be here shortly.
As it turns out, Ken, the general manager, is at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Dallas. We're going to be doing our show from there tomorrow. Is there any way, if our company was to pay the freight charges, that this could be overnighted to Ken down in Dallas? That way, not only would you get the publicity from being on our show in 10 different cities, but you're talking about 7,000 radio guys in a convention at the same time who would be looking at it as they walk by. Could you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I think that would be an excellent idea. As a matter of fact, we'll pay for the shipping.
You will?
Oh, that's great, because we really would like to present it to Ken when we're down there, actually, on our show.
And I think it's an excellent idea.
In case you don't know, we're on in a bunch of cities. We're in Washington, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Miami, Charlottesville, Virginia. Would you like to give a brief plug, a little commercial for your company here? We'd love you to do that.
Well, you mentioned Charlottesville. I'm originally from Natural Bridge, Virginia. And I started down there doing some work with animatronic dolls. What we're doing is taking we're merging two concepts. The concept of like the kind of things you see at Chuck E. Cheese. The little animals and that kind of thing.
Okay,
and
Max.
The old inflatable dolls.
Yes.
And we've merged those two concepts together. And we've taken a unique product line.
Max, I've got an 8-year-old, and we go to Chuck E. Cheese all the time. Just tell me that you didn't get the idea for this while you were at Chuck E. Cheese looking at the robotic rodent.
Well, actually, down in Virginia, we didn't have Chuck E. Cheese. I saw it at the
Showtime?
At the Flintstones at the... Bush Gardens.
And that's what gave you the idea for this?
Yes, it did. Especially Betty and Roman and Fred.
Now, here's what the warnings say. We're just going to hand out the warning sheet. Important.
Sorry, guys.
Read the following warnings before assembling or using your animatronic love mate for the first time. Do not use this device if you suffer from genital sores or lesions or have irritated or inflamed mucous membranes. Well, that lets me out.
Right.
Do not use this device if you suffer from high blood pressure, low blood pressure, or if you have an irregular heartbeat.
Okay.
People with pacemakers should stay a distance of not less than 50 feet from the device. Persons with sugar, diabetes, poor circulation, you know what I mean, college guy.
Paralysis.
Thanks. Or any condition that reduces the sensation of the lower extremity should refrain from using this device. Use of this device for any activity for which it was not specifically designed may result in serious and permanent damage to you as well as this device. Do not operate this device near water, including bathtubs, saunas, showers, hot tubs, swimming pools. If any time you become aware of intense physical pain or if you suspect the device is experiencing mechanical malfunction,
yes,
immediately initiate the emergency shutdown procedure. Now, you know what this sounds to me like, Max? I am a big... Oh, here's Earl Merton, the sales executive that was interested in the
product. Earl. Earl,
say hi to Brian and Max. I'm Max Kevlar, president.
How are you? There you go. I'm glad you guys got a chance to meet.
I'm a big fan of the show Star Trek, The Next Generation, and this seems to me like a version of... Have you seen Data? Are you familiar with Data?
I like the show as well.
They've got a special switch on Data that only Geordi and a few other people know where it is, and it sounds to me like the same kind of thing that you'd press the magic button and just goes limp. Oh, there's more?
As you talk about, there's a movie that's going to be released in France this Christmas that we worked on.
There's a movie that's going to be released in France.
Did Jerry Lewis have it?
Brian, now what were you saying about that movie on the microphone?
That movie is going to be released in France this Christmas. There are two movies that we helped, we worked on. One is very similar to Star Trek.
That wouldn't be Lethal Bitch.
No, that would be the movie The Arrow Star.
A distant space station near a black hole is the setting for sexual interludes between beings from different universes. And you guys are making this movie that's out in France?
We did the special effects for that movie, yes.
I just got to ask one question. Is this some kind of a big practical joke? Are you guys at some point going to, like pull out rubber chickens and
We can show you now.
I'll tell you, Brian, you got the deadpan working for me here because you haven't cracked a smile. I believe you're serious.
Listen to the other movie these guys are putting out, Lethal Bitch. Gross, sick, deeply disturbing. Mother gives birth to a 12-year-old female vampire. Mother and vampire daughter have incestuous lesbian relationship. Vampire performs various acts of sexual mutilation on male, female, and animal partners.
And I guess that would be your robots that are featured in that?
Yes,
30-year-old vampire daughter slithers back into the womb, and mother explodes into bloody pieces.
Oh, my God!
Is this a Disney film?
You know, it's not PG.
You guys really make these movies with your robots.
Well, we participate in them, yes.
I'm not sure that I want to talk about the superflex anus effect. I don't think that is something that I should go into great detail.
That was one thing that's used in the movie, though.
That's great.
When we worked on a couple other, both video and also major motion pictures. Apparently in France there's a big thing of science fiction and erotica all being put together that hasn't really caught on in this country.
Why did you guys bring these Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles?
That's just in case anything goes astray.
I see a first aid kit here.
Well, it's always good to be safe.
There's a first aid kit, and there's a bunch of tools back there.
That's to just assemble the appendages onto the torso.
Keep in mind that what you're seeing here today are prototypes, right. Miniature-type prototypes that we could carry with us on the plane, and then Brian has brought other things in the crates. But what he'll demonstrate are prototypes that we've been working on, and that's why, of course, we have to have the tools. They're not the finished product.
Now, Max, was this your idea, or did you guys come up with this idea together to make these robotic love dolls?
Well, I came up with the idea, been sort of obsessed with it all my life.
No kidding.
Congratulations on that, Max.
Brian is actually the brains behind it. He's put everything together. He has a technical background, and we have a partnership where I'll try to do most of the marketing and that kind of thing, where he'll do the actual building and product research. He's in charge of that.
You guys remind me of Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. You, Max, would be the Jerry Jones, the slick owner, and you would be the Jimmy Johnson, the guy who actually makes the whole thing work. Of course, it didn't work Monday night at RFK Stadium, but that's another story.
But Brian strikes you as kind of a hands-on guy.
It's a part of the fun.
Well, I actually started out my career doing medical prosthesis, and arms and legs, and actually genitals were actually made too for transsexual operations, and also people who've had avulsions and other accidents.
Now, Earl Merton, who was originally interested in this with the general manager, on the day that Ken was in here and found out about this, and I think maybe called as a joke, and as it turns out, we want to try to make it as serious as possible, Ken and Earl were talking about going in on one of these. Now, how much does one of these babies run you? Let's say the not your top-of-the-line model, but in between the top-of-the-line and the cheapest one you could go, what could you get a good love doll for? What would that run you?
Approximately $3,000.
$3,000.
I think, really, that's a bargain. I think that's quite a value.
Now, that's for a standard Samantha version, which has the removable genital piece. We actually went through, after talking to Earl and Ken, we did some more research, and we had some interest on more homosexual-type apparatus, and we hadn't really addressed that market. So we do have a prototype that has a removable mouth and nose piece.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, we got a break for some commercials.
All right, we're going to take a break.
When we do these spots, can you put one of these things? How long does it take you to whip one of these guys and gals up?
Actually, I have a couple here that I can... This is something that
I want to see you open up the case.
The prototypes are ready to go, I believe.
Well, then let's break for commercials. We'll come back and do it all on the air.
Fine.
We are joined by Max and
Brian.
And Brian from Max Kevlar Incorporated Special Effects in Seattle, Washington, with the robotic love dolls. Earl Merton, who is with us. Earl, your feelings now is you're about to have a lifelong dream come true to have a robotic love doll.
It's truly exciting, Don.
Okay, we got to break. We can send this thing down to the NAB, right?
Absolutely.
Ken Stevens?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be a great show.
All right.
Okay, we got a break, and we'll be right back.
Radio God, Don and Mike. Washington, Baltimore, Superstation. WJFK.
Thank you, Sherry.
The Don and Mike Show continues.
All right, it's Robotic Love on WJFK FM, Washington, D.C., WJFK AM, Baltimore, 1520 KB Radio, Buffalo, 1010 Talks, WQIK Tampa, WLAS Jacksonville, WIOD Miami, WCHV Charlottesville. Well, the show has taken a definite left turn today.
It certainly has.
And we are joined by Max and Brian from Max Kevlar Special Effects in Seattle, Washington, bringing Ken Stevens his robotic love dolls.
Yes, Thor, and I also believe you have brought Samantha, the female love doll, along.
What we have here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that we have not done anything during the commercials. We made some small talk. We've had some soft drinks, but these guys have not opened up the crates. We have not seen what is inside. We want to share it right here with you folks.
I do see some sort of a remote control, Brian, in the back there. Is that how you control these?
No, that's not. That's just for the programming.
It's for the programming.
There's certain parameters, people's certain tastes and fetishes that you can program into each of the dolls.
If you had a foot fetish, could you program that in?
We have icons. It's very similar if people are familiar with the Microsoft Windows.
Over your computer. I have Windows, right.
Okay, you know how you have the icons for different programs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the different icons for the various fetishes and perversions, if you will. that would have to be a specially ordered item, though. Although there are feet with toes on them, and you can paint the toenails. I mean, if that was as far as you go.
You guys are nuts.
But they're not. They don't have any motion right now.
So it would be like stuff sucking a toe that had no life to it.
Although it would be warm. The love doll is warmed internally to heighten the realistic
effect. Just out of curiosity, my God, I'm getting curious. How is the love doll warmed, Brian?
It actually has a series of tubes that go right under the layer of the latex.
Uh-huh.
And those can be used to warm the doll and also to give a surging, pulsating type of sensation in particular areas.
Fascinating.
Since Brian mentioned something, I'd like to say that in Mr. Geronimo read a list of cautions. There's one that just came up recently. It's not on that. I just found out recently that there's about 2% of the population have allergies to latex.
Yep.
And there have actually been deaths from anaphylactic shock from latex. So if you're going to invest the $3,000 in animatronic love mate, we suggest you go to your family doctor, ENT, or allergist and get a latex test to see.
Sure.
You can also be allergic to it by eating bananas and chestnuts.
Uh-huh. So yeah, if you're allergic to that type of thing, you might not want to be crawling all over this love doll.
Or you could just give yourself a spot test with just some rubber gloves.
Right.
Now in the two cases on top here, something actually I sort of sprung on my.
You guys, hold on. Let me stop you guys for a second. You've got your spiel down. You've got your sales presentation down.
Mm-hmm.
And it is odd. On one hand, it's great that you guys are as open as you are, and we're able to sit here and listen to this. But we are just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You guys really have real love dolls. You really sell them for $3,000. They really do all this stuff. You're not just setting us up. You're not going to give us a pie in the face or something?
No pies. To show you what we have.
Okay.
The two transit cases on top are advanced concepts that I've worked on with their research and development. This is something that Max hasn't actually seen. These would be something, the three crates have the doll that you'd have to leave at home. You really couldn't take her with you on a business trip unless you just wanted to take the torso.
Guys, just one question. Why is there a fire extinguisher here? Just please.
I'm guessing in case some of the
OSHA regulations.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with electronics, you have to have
it. Oh, internal mechanics if perhaps your loved doll was doing a blow a fuse.
Didn't know you knew that. Okay.
And that's why we
I'm also oddly interested in it just like you are. Mike.
That's why we have the gloves and the goggles and the face masks. Just you don't want to get any influence from the air or anything like
right.
that.
Right.
Hey, Buzz, you might want to come in here for this.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You might actually join us here in the main studio.
Wow.
Well, let's get to it, guys.
Hey, the two cases on top are something I've worked on independently.
these are something for a man who travels, much like your Ken Stevens, who goes out, he's in another market or another area, and, you know, he wants to have sex. You know, what does he do? This would be something that's portable and he could carry with him.
Yeah.
Now, these are advanced concepts, but this would be the first time I'm accessing this, too. So
All right. Well, then we're all getting it together. And again, the concept is if you're a traveling man like Ken, who's at the NAB right now in Dallas, you pull one of these cases, which is a... I'm guessing you could get away with that with carry-on luggage. You wouldn't
exactly.
have to check that, right?
Exactly.
So that's
correct.
The size you could put that in the overhead luggage.
Right.
And well, now the I've got to say that the dolls are they're not life size.
No, these are the carry-on, as you said.
Oh, so these are the smaller versions.
Correct.
They look like ventriloquist dummies, folks. That's about the size of them.
I'm gonna be sick.
Oh, no, I don't
want to. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
All right.
Buzz, help describe this scene.
We're looking at two little dolls here.
Have you ever seen that movie that has the ventriloquist dummy that goes crazy? Yeah. That's almost what these...
We're bringing one of them over. This one's talking to Earl. No, thanks. I'll let you know. All right, now what is this?
This is Thor.
Come on.
Make me squeal. Yes, Earl.
Folks, this is not a joke. These are real. Get that thing.
You're making me squeal.
You scared me with that thing. Now what does she say?
Yes,
Earl. And is this one mentioning Ken?
Yeah. She's going, oh, Kenny.
Yes.
You know what's weird? The little eyes move and everything.
We plan on having everything move when we get beyond in more detail. Now, these proceedings.
Not what I expected.
Me either.
These are made small so that they're portable. They're not made small so that they resemble very young people.
Let me make an announcement to all the people that work here. Everybody wants to come on in. Come on in and take a look at these babies.
Everybody is fascinated by these love dolls.
Turn this off, please.
These are the size of regular dolls. Come on in, everybody.
Fascinating.
This is Samantha, and that is Thor. Oh, look at Daryl's the only one who doesn't seem surprised by this. Daryl's coming and going, oh yeah, animatronic love dolls. Oh yeah, Doc.
You mean they look like this, Daryl?
I have no idea.
And as you can see, Thor has not only handcuffs on, he also has, Sherry, they made me jump back like that also. Sherry and I had the exact same reaction to this thing.
We feel at Mascavar that we're uniquely positioned to take advantage of the moral decay in the country. And we're going to make a buck on it.
Hold on, I have just spotted. Did Thor always have his thing out?
Thor's had his thing out since they took Thor out of the game.
I didn't notice that Thor had. Wow. You know, Thor's thing is kind of. It's bigger than he is.
Yeah, it's not proportioned to Thor. Is that.
We had a choice. This is the 5-inch version. We had a 10 and a 12-inch. I did this pretty much in my
own
home.
We're not talking about Thor's height here, are we? I don't think we are.
Let me see if I can describe that. You know, when they were talking about Teddy Ruxpin, that is the closest thing I can say, folks. They're about as big, actually maybe a little bigger than a Teddy Ruxpin doll. They've got doll faces.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me, guys. I'll tell you, you lose me with the dolly.
Well,
the dolly faces right there.
That's exactly the problem I had, and that's one thing that we were interested in having Mr. Stevens and Mr. Merton be a beta test site.
Yeah.
Was because I wasn't sure what to go for. I wanted them to be transportable. Obviously, this is something that if they found like at Michael Jackson's ranch would cause a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Rob A., come here. I would like. Oh, now Sherry can't resist. Sherry's touching. That's okay, Sherry.
Were you touching Thor, Sherry?
Rob A., your feelings upon seeing these love dolls.
I think they look like Buffy and Jody from A Family Affair.
Yeah. You know, they do. Buffy, Jody.
Time for your bath, your third of the day.
Sherry, you actually touched Thor. Does it feel like doll skin? Does it feel like baby doll skin? I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was hard plastic or soft plastic, and it is. It's just like a regular doll.
Now,
you know,
guys,
kind of hard.
Guys, let's be serious for a second. I almost bought into the full-size, you know, regular woman that maybe there might be somebody out there that, that would buy that and want to make love to that. Do you think that there's a market for somebody who would buy what is virtually a kid's doll with regular-sized genitals? Do you think that guys are going to spend money on this? And more importantly, do you think there is somebody out there that would make love to these? Have you tried to make love to them, Brian? Have they been tested?
We've marketed Thor to one of our people, not this particular model, but we had a slightly different version that had got, he was controlled remotely, though. He didn't have the computer works that it would take to actually have him be self-motivated.
Thor looks like he belongs in Toys R Us, though. Babes in Toyland.
Well, these don't have all the features yet. We plan on having to be able to go to your knees, actually hear your voice and be able to respond to your vocal intonations, your blood pressure, much like the larger dogs. And this is for the common man. This would be a feature that anyone could afford. And if you go out to your...
How much would these run you?
We haven't quite figured out what the price for these would be yet. If you go somewhere where you just get, though, just a motorized penis or just a motorized vagina, you're looking... Typically, an investment of $60 to $80. These were just slightly more. These would probably be less than $500. They found that the market, like when VCRs came out, they had to be under $1,000.
Right.
When video cameras really became popular, under $1,000. Computers, under $1,000. We figure if we can position these where they can come home to you for under $1,000, these are also easier to ship.
$1,000 for these two right
now,
here.
Now, can you turn them on again so we can hear them speak? Can I hear the one speak to Earl first, please? Thor.
Also, you think about the price. Think about what a course of penicillin for penicillin-resistant syphilis or something would cost. This will prevent that.
Thanks for that tip in, Max.
If you'll pardon the pun.
The safe sex is really what we're going for.
Oh, yeah, Earl. Oh,
can you bring him right up to the microphone?
Brian, that sounds surprisingly like your voice.
This is a prototype of something I worked at home.
Giddy up, Earl.
Yeah. Giddy up, Earl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Earl, you animal. Earl. Yes. More. Oh, Earl. Oh, faster, Earl. Faster. Oh.
Hey, Jeremy, do you think we're going to be a big hit at the NAB with these? Do you think we're going to get some new stations, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, you are my stallion. Oh, giddy up. Giddy up.
Okay, now can we hear Samantha talk about Kenny Stevens?
I just pretty much used my imagination for that. I figured that maybe that would be more feedback to what would be more appropriate.
Quite an active imagination you have there, Brian.
And keep in mind, the sounds that you make during those intimate times are pretty silly if somebody was listening.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all smile at
this. It's too bad you're never able to work with Jim Henson, Brian.
Wouldn't Kermit have had fun?
Oh, yes. 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 Ken. Yes. Oh, Mr. Stevens. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. 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 Oh, oh, God. What a man. Yes. Yes. Oh, again, yes, yes, oh, God.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I want to point one thing out about Samantha that I just happened to notice there,
yeah.
Guys. We're talking about legitimate there, but the nipples on Samantha.
They're real nipples. They are like the kind of nipples that you would put on the top of a bottle.
A baby bottle.
That's what I mean. They are nipples.
They're from a baby bottle, right?
Well, we have found that there is a market that is also interested in lactating females.
All right. Okay.
Okay, guys.
All righty.
Okay. Wow. Now these babies are prototypes. You've got, now, in the cases, is that where the big life-size ones are? Right. Okay. Brian, what would you like to say in closing? Oh, Brian's in the back. I'm sorry. Max?
Max, anything? Any parting words for your spiel here?
Brian, I think you had an ending speech, didn't you?
Brian's got some notes. Come on over, Brian. Help yourself. Oh, and here's some cribs. Oh, you want me to read it? Okay. Application to become a National Don and Mike Show irregular. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. This is a scam.
Yeah, I knew it.
This is a scam.
Okay.
We have been scammed.
Okay. Let me
you know see. Who scammed us?
Who scammed us?
The guy that sent the letter about the chart. You remember this? The guy who set the chart on how to find out what kind of listeners we have.
Oh, he is a truly anal listener.
Now, is that you? That's him?
All right.
Oh. Man, this guy went to an incredible length.
Wow.
We salute you, gentlemen.
Oh, we are.
We salute you.
Man, we have been had.
Well, that is great.
Now, listen to the letter that this guy sent. Application to become a National Don and Mike Show irregular. Experience? I groped my mother-in-law thinking she was my wife. You called her and told her that I knew it was her and I did it on purpose. I sent you a bogus fax about the granny sex line. I sent faxes to not read on air. I sent a fax charting the listeners on a bell graph. And I sent elaborate faxes about Max Kevlar sex products. Now, understand what this guy did. Not only did he make these dolls, he also made a logo. He made business cards. You made up everything about the movies, right?
Yeah, these guys had name tags when they came in. This was well done. I'll tell you that right
now. Where did you come up with the idea to do this? Was this you? Now, your name, you're really Kevin, right?
Yes, sir.
Kevin Kirby.
Yes, sir. Okay, you can smile there. Now he's smiling at us.
Oh, that's good. Wow. Yeah, I think you've made it, Kevin. You're one of the irregulars.
Don and I were walking down the hallway, and we were saying to each other, these guys are either totally clueless as to what's going on, or this is a very well done scam.
You know, you put a lot of work. We want to bring those dolls with us to Dallas, incidentally, if we could. First off, why did you do this? Second off, how much time and money did it take you to put all this stuff together? And how did you pull it off? Tell us everything.
Oh, well, actually, as you recall, you called a 1-800 number to call me. I have a friend at the phone company that when they assign a 1-800 number, someone had specifically asked for that number. It hadn't gone into service yet, so he actually redirected it to my home so I'd be able to answer the 1-800 number when you called. It started off kind of small, though. I gave just the ad, and then you guys went on to other things, and a week went by. So then I gave you some more stuff, hoping you would call me. I gave you the information about the Tyrannosaurus Rex penis and the other item. And still you didn't call. And then you went to Florida. So then I said, well, gee, what am I going to do? So then I had the animatronic sex doll.
Now these dolls that you put together, I got to tell you, I don't think there might be a market for some sick individuals out there who would get these. How did you put the dolls together? How much time and money did it take? And how did you make the dolls say the little stuff about Ken and Earl?
Well, as you noted, my voice is on the Earl tape, and totally from imagination, I thought someone would say in a similar situation to that. And then, although she didn't want me to say it, my wife actually did the voice for the female. And one thing, we were talking about this outside, and she was reminiscent about it. She said, well, you know, I'm not usually that vocal. And I said, yeah, I know. I had to, because she was doing whispery. And I said, I had to sort of shake you to get you to say it so deep. And we didn't realize that our neighbors were all around. And I'm sure they didn't know exactly what was going on. They probably heard us, too, doing all the tapes.
Now, let's meet the other impersonator, because you obviously are not Max Kevlar, but you are a... You're a damn good actor, whoever you are. Come on up, and what's your name, and what do you really do?
Well...
Do you want to say?
Actually, not, because I'm supposed to be doing it now.
Oh, you're supposed to be at work right now?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So let me just say that I'm his brother.
Okay.
And only his brother would do something like that.
This is the most elaborate scam.
Oh, guys, we applaud you, really.
Yeah,
good job.
Actually, I was going to send a letter out to an aunt in Seattle and have it sent back to you, but the time wouldn't work out.
I mean, folks, if you could see the studio, if you could see, besides the cases that the dolls came in, they've got boxes that are taped up that say delicate instruments on them. Buzz, you have suckered into this also.
I walked into the studio, and I saw a fire extinguisher and some condoms, and although I've seen that before, I'd never actually seen it in a radio studio, and it seemed legitimate to me because they had all the safety devices.
They got us all hooked, line, and sinker. We were saying things like, do they know that this is, we're going to play a gag on Ken Stevens? Do they know this? Are they going to be upset? What's the deal?
See, the important thing to remember, folks, is not only did these guys have the stationery and the phone number and the business card and the press releases, they came in wearing the suits and ties. They look like perverted scientists.
Right?
They've got the dolls. I mean, we were hooked.
Oh, man.
We were hooked. And the only reason you did this is because you want to be a regular on the show?
Well, actually, it's kind of a sickness. When you called about the chart that I did.
Right. Oh, and you remember that's... That's the bell chart that
right.
That Kevin did that describes the four groups of people that listen to the show. There are those who hate us yet are obsessed with the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's those that like us, those that love us, and then those on the deep end that really, really love us.
Tremendous. I mean, you put a lot of work into that, too. I've never seen that as much effort by just a listener doing this. This is incredible.
But I realized it wasn't a good thing, though, because when you were first saying you were going to call me, I was going down the road. So I went speeding home, disobeying all the speed limits. When I got home, my wife had parked her car kitty-cornered across the place, so I couldn't park. So I jumped out of the car while I was running.
This is when we were reading your bell curve.
And you were
letter,
calling
right?
me. The phone was ringing. I went charging up to the house, and there were neighborhood kids all over the front porch. I stepped on a Barbie car and, like, twisted my back. I blew the door open. I finally got to the phone, so I'm all out of breath. I'm disoriented. All the kids are coming and talking. And when you talk to me, I think I did okay. You asked me if I had masturbated that day, and I had an answer and that sort of thing. But then at the end, he promised me some Snapple, but then I sort of was disoriented. I couldn't hear you. So you do like you do for your dopey listeners. And he said, go ahead, put the phone back on the cradle. And then I snapped. And my wife came in and she said, well, you're
snapped.
Pretty
okay.
good.
So we're getting into that vendetta area now, right?
Well, okay. Not with you, though.
Okay, all right.
My wife came in and I said, I don't play.
WJFK AM Baltimore.
Right.
KV Radio Buffalo, 1010 Tox, WQIK Tampa, WLAS Jacksonville, WIOD Miami, and WCHV Charlottesville.
You know, we were just sitting here during the spots, Mike and Sherry and myself, and we were discussing this. We bought into that. Well, first off, it was beautifully done.
Absolutely yeah. brilliant.
A lot of time, a lot of money went into this.
Right.
It was beautifully done. I'd like to say that at some point I knew for sure it was a scam, but they pulled it off to such an extent that even during the commercials, we're making small talk with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're buying into it.
And they really, I mean, the one guy who was straight was Brian. He was basically not smiling at all. And then the guy that played the role of the CEO of the company was kind of smirking like he was just playing along. And it was convincing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it's a little bit worrisome that there's somebody out there that's such a devoted fan of the show that he would go to that great length. I mean, we're going to keep these dolls around if we can, and,
right.
and the next time we do an appearance at Studebaker's or somewhere like that, we're going to bring them out so you can see them.
The thing about it was these little dolls that didn't look anything even like a normal inflatable doll,
right.
we were trying to be polite to these guys.
They were gross.
They were foul.
I was shocked because they had adult voices, as the listeners heard on the air.
And adult parts.
The dolls had adult voices and adult parts. But they were childlike dolls. I don't mean they were just children's dolls.
That's
I mean,
right.
They had
the
children's dolls,
faces.
The dolls looked like children, and it was very disturbing. When I walked into the control room, my heart skipped a beat. I mean, I was genuinely shocked that these guys would be selling, you know, sexual dolls that look.